history here with us. Very interesting history. And started off with a man who had a vision. His name was Spencer Edward, our first pastor. And he was in this area before 1855. And he had a son who went up to Illinois. And so Spencer Edward went up to visit his son. And then they left in Illinois and came down here and constituted our church. So I want to read you in our minute book. What we have during the beginning of that, and just the Constitution. It says, the state of Texas, Wood County, Saturday before the first Sunday in May 1855, Elder Spencer Edward, J.M. Ray, and A.B. Mason, deacons, presbytery called by the above named brethren, have examined them and found them orthodox and sound in the faith. Do by these presents declare them a regular constituted church under the name of the Primitive Baptist Church of Christ at Brookville. Now, since that time, we have dropped the Church of Christ name for the Brookville Primitive Baptist Church. And this is signed to Elder Spencer Edwards, J.M. Ray, and A.B. Mason, Deacon. And I'll read the Constitution of the Church. Pursuant to a previous agreement, we, the undersigned, met at Hopewell, Wood County, Texas. The presbytery that was called, being present, makes the following comment. For as much as God Almighty, by His grace, has been pleased to call us, whose name we present here, unto subscribe out of darkness into His marvelous light, and all of us, holding letters from the primitive churches of Christ, which are in good standing, first being given ourselves unto thee, to each other in a gospel church way, to be disciplined, agreeable to the word of God. We do therefore, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by his assistance, covenant and agree to keep up the discipline of the church we are members of, and do earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints, which we believe is contained in the foregoing articles of faith, and in brotherly love to pray with and for one another with great care, and not irregularly depart from the fellowship of the church. These things we do covenant and agree to keep sacred and observe in the name of and by the assistance of the Holy Trinity, amen. Signed by the mutual consent of members present Saturday before the second Sunday of May 1855. So, for years and years, our churches of faith met once a month. And our meeting time here was second Sunday. It may seem odd, just maybe once a month, but the beauty part was we had all these sister churches that were around, so we could go, and they met on different weekends, so we could go visit them, and they visited us also. So that made it nice. And we have evolved since then. Now we meet every weekend. Now, on the second weekend, we would meet on Saturday and Sunday. Saturday was for business. We would have a regular meeting, preaching, singing, and preaching, but it would be business. So that way we wouldn't deal with any business unless it was an emergency on Sunday. Well, that ended up changing where it got fewer and fewer who attended on Saturday, so then it just changed to Sunday. There was another church that we had in the area, I believe it was called Tanner, and it was it met on Thursday. And it was back toward back toward Quitman and back west of there. And it got down to a few members, and dad, who was a preacher at the time, about 1979, 80. So my dad decided, well, let's meet here on third Sunday. And the main reason was because we had two ministers who were just starting to preach, and that was Brother Shining Bonner and my brother Jimmy Hammond. So my dad wanted to open up third weekend here to enable those two to exercise their gifts. Through time, we lost, we had the Good Hope Church who had a fourth weekend, and they finally got down low in numbers. So they stopped meeting, and then we started meeting here on the fourth weekend. And Parent Church also, I don't know the exact name of the field when it ended up closing there. But then we decided, well, let's meet here on first. So now we meet. And then also on fifth weekend. This here is July 30th, it's fifth weekend. That's kind of how we evolved from meeting once a month to every weekend. I'm glad we did. I think there were some people who would come up here thinking that we would be open and doors would be closed. Mm-hmm. We didn't miss anybody who would get some visitors. I'm sure that happened at the time. But, this building that we're in right now was built in 1947. Mm-hmm. And it is the third building. Back in 1855, it first met in what's called a brush arbor. And it was back on behind us here. And we met there until the winter came along, and I believe a log cabin was built. And I don't know the days that the second church was built. And it was back on behind here also. Must have been in 1800. There's a picture of it in the library. It had two doors. One door that the men came through and one door that the women came through. I don't know if they sat separately. They may have, I'm not sure.
What
the women
came
through? Women and children, one door, right. And the men in the other. And the picture of the church is in the front of the church, and it shows that. So we have changed from that to, we sit together, nothing like the other, together. So this church wasn't here when the outlaw final flag was coming through here, 1933, 1934. It was the old church. But one of the reasons they came here, they had a supplier, an ammunition supplier. And also, for whatever reason, they liked Winsville. I think the one of them got their hair done. They never did rob a bank in Winsville. They robbed in several other places. I'm pretty sure the building before this one was back on behind here. And the cemetery didn't get going until in 1970. And it was the press man's name, I think it was Moore, Mr. Moore. He donated three acres of land to the church for the cemetery. But we have interesting history here, and we've had 17 pastors in 1855.
Mm-hmm.
17.
One for the good person.
Okay.
So the double doors you talked about, 1920 is when the women, America allowed women to vote, so that could have coincided with when we were going to go under. Curious. That all of it changed.
A lot of changes.
More than that, the other things, still on the property across the road.
In 1979, we added the fellowship hall. And that was very nice. Because we added two bathrooms. Before that time, we had outhouse. So that was an experience having an outhouse. It was very nice to have the indoor bathrooms. Also, we would, before the fellowship hall, we would eat out here. Under the big oaks, up in here in Central. And then probably 10 times out of the year, we would eat out there. Exceptions would be rain or extreme cold weather, we would eat in Central.
Remember, at the front of the
remember, we had right here a ceiling fan. Yeah. An old style ceiling fan. And you will see a lot of ladies have these little fans that will open up. And little fans. So that's a lot. And we had different chairs sitting here back then. It was more like the fold-down seats, I think, that are all in here. And wood floors, no problem. Yeah, that's right. So we never really changed in that regard. We're very, very modern. Back when Jenny and my brother, sister and brother-in-law got married, Jenny and Mandy Carroll at St. Grace Church. That was the first time I've been in a church that had air conditioning and bathrooms. I was surprised. Elder Spencer Edwards, born in 1788. I think he may be buried in a cemetery, Union Grove area in Upshur County. But sadly, there is no marking. I can't, in researching him, I can't find where he lived after 1859. All his life. Back then, at that time, a lot of people died from pneumonia. Or power. Not many
from cancer. No. My contention was they didn't know about cancer. And a lot of times it was called consumption. Because what did it was that he
got born to. The next pastor we had was Elder C.A. Parker. Now, what does the C.A. stand for? I had to look it up. I'm too curious. Cater Atkins. Cater Atkins. He was born in 1810. He lived a long life, died in 1882. He is buried at Providence Cemetery. He and his wife had 9 children, 6 sons and 3 daughters. All 6 sons served in the Civil War. Parker Jr. And he died from wounds at the Battle of Gettysburg, 1863. He's only 22 years old. Well, that was kind of sad to me. Another interesting thing about Elder Parker, he served in the 14th Texas Legislature. In 1874 to 1876. He didn't serve after that. He was responsible for sponsoring a bill that divided up Titus County. And it ended up being passed. So now we have Franklin, Titus, and Morris. I thought that was interesting. I will say it would have to be 1856 when he started, I'm pretty sure, because after Spencer Edwards. I think he was serving before he was in the elected Texas. He was a Texas state senator. He was serving before that. We've had some other, it's rare, but we have had some other elders. I think the Elder Rhodes, that served in Louisiana. He was a state senator for Louisiana. But it's pretty rare that a friend of mine was preaching with him to do that. The next two, I can't find anything on them. And that's looking to find a grave and ancestry.com. And that's Elder J.W. Caldwell and Elder S.W. Blackwell. Yeah, that doesn't mean that, I mean, they're out there somewhere. It's just a matter of finding them. So, one problem we have is our minutes. We lost our minutes, and so some of them were put in a barn. They ended up getting destroyed somehow. So that's sad, but that would probably add some information about them. We have Elder R.T. Webb. So what does R.T. stand for? Richard, but I don't know what to use. He was born in 1821, died in 1892. He's buried out here. Okay. First one that we know of, so he's buried out here. Elder John E. J. E. Carter, sixth pastor, he died in 1904. He from 1837 to 1904. He's also buried out here. Hopefully. And J stands for John Elvis. The next pastor, our seventh, is the pastor that my dad remembers hearing the meeting from there. And his name was Elder H.B. Jones. He passed away in 1939. He's also buried out here, of course. And the HB stood for Henry Benjamin. The next pastor was Elder R.R. Radney. He passed away in 1922. Now, some of these dates kind of look kind of odd. And some of it, you know, like we have now, we have, at Hopewell Church, we have two pastors. So during this time of the pastors, there were likely two pastors that were together for a period of time. In my brother Jimmy's case, he started in 1988. My dad had passed away in December 1987. So, Elder H. Jeffrey Jones, that was Henry Benjamin. Elder R.R. Radney, R.R. stood for Rufus Robert. He is buried at Rock Hill Cemetery, which is not too far. All the Radneys are buried there at Rock Hill.
And they were related to the Galloway.
The next one is Elder R.A. White. He passed away in 1930. And he is buried out here. And his R.A. stood for Reuben Elder. And our 10th pastor here was Elder J.R. Harvey. Yeah, he was born in 1872 and died in 1942. He's buried at Restland Memorial Park in Dallas. His wife, Jessie Hardy, is buried out here. And when we first moved to Winfield, she was still alive. And lived right in downtown Winfield. And I remember visiting her. She was way up in age. She gave Daddy one of her Harleys Bible. And it's in the Bible. Elder W.W. Slaughter, he was born in 1857 and died in 1948. He's buried at Oak Hill Cemetery in Edgewood. And Brother Thomas found this out for me about the initials from him. William Williams. Elder S.C. Davenport. He passed in 1963. But he was born in 1869. And died in 1963. He's buried at the Mount Pisgah Cemetery in Wood County. Does anybody know where that's buried? That name sounds familiar, but I just can't quite place it. Mount Pisgah Cemetery. And our 13th pastor, Elder A.G. Leonard.
Hawkins. He's from the cemetery.
Hawkins. Thank you. Elder Lambert, born in 1906 and passed in 1980. He's buried at Good Hope Cemetery, Franklin County. He is the only pastor buried out there. Good Hope Cemetery was a group of families, and it was the Rose, the Elledges, and maybe a few others that are buried out there. But they wanted Elder Lambert and his wife to be buried out there. And it is the Old Style Cemetery, no grass. Brother Jimmy was real appreciative of the Elder Lambert. He had a home in downtown in Biden Lansbury. But Jimmy would visit him for hours upon hours.
I moved in with him for a while.
You moved in with him?
Yeah.
Elder Lambert had a way when he would preach. Not every time, but he would say something right away that was kind of pre-Armenian. But then he would continue preaching and it would all fit together and then you understood why he said it that way. So he did that on more than one occasion. That would draw your attention, I think. What does EJ stand for? He wrote a book called Pride and the Promise. It's a very good read. Very good.
I had an aunt that was someone I adored growing up, my Aunt Mary Davis back in that time, and she really loved everyone. I think most people that were under this preacher, but he traveled to New Zealand. In Texas and Arkansas, I believe he goes searching in that whole area and he's traveling with his family.
Perfect. He's living in Arkansas from Texas today?
I believe so, yeah. Yeah. I believe so.
Maybe with his family.
Well, he served two churches in Arkansas and two in Texas. So, he was living in Winsboro when he was serving the two in Texas. Karen was one of them. Ella Lambert was warned when he was a real young minister that there was a big bully in the church that he'd be pastoring at. Because this fellow, so Ella Lambert, prayed about this because he believed trouble was on the way, and the Lord just gave him wisdom on how to deal with this bully. And what he did was, the first day of class, he went there extra early, and then when the bully came in, Alexander walked up to him and said, "Now listen, I'm only 17 years old, and there's no way I'm going to be able to handle this fast without some help." And he said, "I need a sergeant at arms to help me out." And then he looked at this fellow that was supposed to be the bully, He looked at him and said, "You're my sergeant-in-law." And he gave him responsibility. And it made him love all that, because Eric Lambert was showing that he was pressing him. And he did not want to say that Eric Lambert had no trouble at all. The wisdom he was given early on, and having it looked like a pretty bad, potentially bad situation.
Well, remember, his big parents, he's got real weight in his latter years, but he would be. He almost stumbled getting up into the pulpit. He was just real weak. And the God blessed him in his preaching that he almost became like youthful in his preaching. And after he preached that sermon, he was weak again, didn't know how to stand. But I witnessed that. Power of God in that man.
After Elder Lambert, W.W. Taylor was the pastor. He was the 14th pastor. He was also serving, I believe, Central Press Church at the time. W.W. stood for William
don't know about the second of it, but he went by Bill. He is buried at Washington Cemetery in Calhoun County, Arkansas. Born in 1917 and passed in 2002. I can remember him preaching when I was a little boy. He had a story. I was just enthralled with the way he preached. I don't know what it was exactly. But the story of David and Goliath, I was kind of spellbound listening to him. That was a long, long time ago. Our 15th pastor was my dad, Elder Joel Hammer, from 1974 to 1987. And of course, he's buried out here. We started having the fifth weekend meeting. Pretty joyous time seeing all the vision ministers and people come from a long ways off. Typically, the last 3 days. I don't know the exact year we started there, maybe 75, 76. It was pretty quick after he started preaching. It was pretty quick. '74. I think when we moved up here in 1970, we saw the Springs and then the house was built. 71, I think about, maybe in 1970, he and mother went to put in a membership here to begin with. And then after daddy passed away in 87, our brother Timmy became our pastor. It was 1988. And he may be the longest serving pastor. 12 and 23, I was 35. I'll have to do more research, but it may be the longest.
Yeah. Did you hang around a little bit, or did you have the longest?
Well, both, maybe.
Jimmy, you got to stay a while so you get that on.
Elder Thomas Brooks, 2022. So that's our 17 pastors. Elder Jimmy Forzetti stands for Jones Field. We have a lot of history here, and I think it's an interesting and a good history. And we've been extremely blessed by God to be able to keep the candle lit by praising his name for 168 years.
There's one thing I think you will want to add to what you said, and just to have a good look at it. My father was a little boy, and he told me as a little boy he had to walk 20 miles before he said he had to walk.
It is pretty cool.
Just to get the store. But anyway, he was one day at his home,
Father Williams.
Norfolk, that's it, you're right.
Yeah.
Hardy and Hinkson.
Yeah.
But anyway, Elder Hardy, was living with my grandmother, and he saw that my daddy was in the next room, and he pulled up a chair close to the doorway, if he wanted to hear the conversation. Over and talk to Mama. He said, well, she saw what Dad was doing, pulling that chair to be in a position where he could overhear the family conversation. And he came over and whispered to her that someday that the boys were going to have to preach. And she carried that with her when he started exercising. That was a great encouragement to him.
Yeah.
To keep going. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One other thing I'd like to say about our church is I think we've been extremely blessed with, and I think others see it in us, and that is love. We have love for one another, we have a love for others. And I think that has kept us together. God's given us that love, and we also share that love with others.
Thank you.
Dad was blessed with a very good Southern Grace library. And we were running out of room in the house to keep those books. So what we did as a church, we went ahead and added a library on the side here. It's been a wonderful blessing, this library. And I thought they did a pretty good job of talking to you.
I call your library a candy store.
Well, I heard you had quite a few books yourself.
I read somewhere that said 10 years from now you'll be just like you are today, except the people you surround yourself with and the books you read. So I bought a lot of books.
Well, we have my dad's books, and then we have books that I have been collecting over the years. And the library at my dad's home was just not near big enough to accommodate his little library and my new additions. And Elder C.M. Haygood, who was in many ways like another father to me, he had a bunch of books. And so we had Elder Haygood's collection. Elder Shipman had a collection. So we added his collection. So now we're basically in the library that we have out now, our cup runneth over. So we encourage people to look at books and see what's interesting. Have a commentary by a good number of very gifted. So, John Gill, who was highly esteemed as a Baptist teacher. We have a lot of building commentaries in the library here.
You got it.
Who?
Oh, the Lambert.
Yeah.
But they were in Arkansas, and I don't know where they were.
Well, I know that what Elder Lambert had in Winnebago, which was the remnant of books that he had left. The page for that, for what he had left, just like Dr. Harrell, I could see the money for that, and then just added that to what we had too. One of the series of books that my dad really highly esteemed, and then I remember too, was writing by a William Huntington, who was a Scottish priest mentor, not only of England, but my dad's got his entire set. Volume, everything he wrote, he's got. I just want to share some of what William Huntington had. Preface of this book that my dad was really proud of seeing was called Contemplation. It's a series of letters that William Huntington wrote to a young master. Preface to this book that came out in, I think, in 1940. My daughter typed this up for me. But so we have, again, several works by this William Huntington, and he was extraordinarily gifted. And the preface The letters of many men have marked this fame and are an abiding memorial in the minds of multitudes. And these letters of William Huntington is comprised of three great classics that truly sanctified which will ever find access to the heart which is exercised as his was. The Cole Heber, that's where William Huntington was. The Cole Hebers, too poor to buy shoes with which to follow his calling, and with clouts protecting his feet, as he assures us, should be the author of these letters describe his contemplation and elaborate upon the sublimeness of all subjects and enigma to the wisdom of this world. Confusions, the profoundity of those who are wise above what is written, and explained only by the condescension of God's most Holy Spirit in imparting the necessary life. Sometimes the author, again, William Huntington, is like Isaiah in his contemplation of the Holy God. Yet again, he reclines his jaw upon the Savior's breast. Thus, the truly humbled soul, knowing that in him there dwells no good thing, and the sparing of mercy will find the divine perfection, gauge for his deliverance, and see in Christ that fullness of every grace which it pleased the Father in him to dwell. A great cloud of witnesses preceded this servant of the Lord with the sound Trinitarianism here set forth. So this, again, is these letters of power contemplation. Are focusing on the truth of the Trinity of God. Patriarchs, prophets, and apostles are one as to him which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. Augustine also, the Reformers, the Puritans, Calvin, Bunyan, Calvin, indeed the whole family unfalteringly speak of him whom they need. Huntington was an affectionate niche in the hearts of fully regenerated men everywhere. Visiting the tomb at Jared Chapel, Charles Haddon Spurgeon said of them, "I have read him by the hour." Now, we're blessed in our library to have the largest sermon set in the world. It is Charles Spurgeon's. All in the index. So you can, if you're wondering what Paul's person is talking about, a certain part of scripture that you look it up. It's amazing. It's a gold mine, really. The man that Clinton broke his confrontation to the man by the name of Tito. And he joined the church with the Jagger Chapel. He joined it. The chapel was just another name they used instead of church. They just used that to our best. And even the people that are closest to Primitive Baptists, and they're called Gospel Standard Baptists, they see that for chapel for a lot of their church buildings. So William Clinton starts off his letters by addressing them to the fellow people. And he addresses them as, "Dear Son, in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied. I have for some time had it upon my mind to send thee some account of my late goings on, having for some weeks back been much indulged and helped by the Holy Spirit of promise, of whose influence, help, and energetic intercession at the throne of grace I was very watchful and observant. And on the other hand, did not but wonder at the backwardness, deadness, dryness, and barrenness, both in power and in expression, for his sensible influence was withheld from me. His divine person and his most benign influences and operations were for many days my meditation, both by night and by day, and during this time these things were the principal subjects of my ministry, and had I written upon them I would no doubt but that thou wouldst have helped the rest of the faith. But now it is not so with me. My harp is upon the willow. We all have our ups and downs. And certainly, so you mentioned, he would like to have those downs. And he says, but now it is not so with me. My harp is upon the willow. With respect to sensible enjoyments, the comforter, it should relieve my soul, seems to be far from me. Oh, what is all religion without the operation of the Holy Spirit? An empty show, and weariness to the flesh. I thought not a little of his divine personality, and wondered much how any man living who reads the scriptures could ever have the effrontery to deny his being a divine person. But the world knows him not. I will send, and he quoted scripture here, I will send you a company whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth them not, neither knoweth them. But ye know him, he dwells with you, and shall be in you. He is therefore to be known by all believers, and those who do know him will glorify him and honor him, will reverence him and adore him. And we know that all who are destitute of him and strangers to his operations are sensual men and know nothing but what they know naturally. Hence some have called the Holy Spirit no more than equality. Others no more than his name. A guy that there is but one person in the Godhead. So whatever his name. Simon Magnus gave it out that he himself was God the Father in Samaria, the Lord in Judea, and the Spirit in the other parts of the world. Surely that monster of a man must be the father or ringleader of all characters. But we know that no curious diving, no speculative crime, no presumptuous intruding will meet with the divine application. God resisteth itself. The whole house safe, how sweet, how salutary, how satisfactory, how humbling and softening are sweet influences, operations, discoveries, and communications by the Holy Spirit upon the soul and the children of God. Various things are meant by the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Scriptures, as wind, the spirit of beasts, and the souls of men and angels, both good and bad, but the Holy Ghost is distinguished from all these, being emphatically called God, not in a figurative or metaphor, but in an absolute sense, to the acknowledgement of the mysteries of God and the ordinary, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, Colossians 2:2, in which passage the Holy Ghost stands first in the Holy Trinity, and he is distinct from the Father and from Christ. And surely if he were not essentially God to all intents and purposes, he never would have inspired the apostle to name and place him as God before the Father. The church also they call the temple of the Holy Ghost that God has put out a dwell in them and a walk in them. No spirit whatever that is mentioned in all the book of God ever numbered with the persons in the Holy Trinity, or ranked with the Father and the Son, except the Holy Ghost. Nor is the church the property, the temple, or the habitation of any but of God alone. And as the church is called the temple of the Holy Ghost must be God. The Ghost is His Spirit. The Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit are one and the same in the original. So say we learn. Now, what I have upon my mind to write to my dear brother upon this important subject, and however weakly or however imperfectly I may express myself, I am fully persuaded by my own experience establishing my own experience that must be safe and ever will be satisfactory in establishing to the elect of God who are regenerated and renewed by the Holy Spirit to believe as I do, while the contrary of most thinkers is not terrible. I mean that the Holy Ghost must be acknowledged to be a divine person by all those who are sanctified. We hope to be saved. We must acknowledge the mystery of God, of the Father, and of Christ. For we are baptized in the name of all the three. And therefore, in our holy profession, we must acknowledge the greatest mystery of all mysteries, A person, according to the account of learning men, is an individual being, an intelligent agent, who is singular and subsists, lives, speaks, understands, and works. And such is the Holy Ghost. Nor is there a distinct personal character, but what the Holy Scriptures apply to him. Such as, I me him he his thou. So for instance, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work order to I have called them. And then he is come and another quote. And when he is come, he will guide you into all truth. Again, I will send you a comforter whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Again, if the Spirit of the Lord straighten or be his doing, again, whither shall I go from thy Spirit? Or whither shall I see from thy presence? If I go up into heaven, thou art there. Sure I am that these personal characters cannot be applied to a name or to a quality in God or to an influence of counsel in life. The Spirit of God and the fear of the Lord. Another quote here. The spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Again, and yet another quotation. Now I beseech you, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, again, to receive the word with joy of the Holy Ghost. Another quote. Grieve not the Spirit of God by which ye are sealed, but they rebel and vex his Holy Spirit, so he turns to be their enemy and fought against them. I cannot see how all the above mentioned things can with propriety be ascribed to anything but a person, to apply them to a quality, an accent, a name, or a non-entity, but be absurd to the last degree. And I have often thought that if men were allowed to take the same liberties with the evidences of his purchase of man's will and testament, fallibly, and writings of the state, etc., that some take with the word of God, there are lawyers and counselors wise enough to defeat every land holder in a nation out of all that he has, and even out of his own personality and existence too. For it is but to prove that there is no such man, no such person, that it is only a name, and all the other or personal characters are to be understood in a figurative or an allegorical sense, and that in no more than the quality of man or the power put forth by man on certain occasions. Or they signify only the breath of a man's mouth and action or transient emanation flowing out with his words in his speech. Allow a wise lawyer or counselor to go this way to work, and we will soon see the greatest man on earth and a nation better than this week. Now, my dear brother, I must leave this subject for the present, submitting this activity to your perusal. And should your thoughts spoke to my regret. You would think you regret to have some frame that would be much more stirred for it than this. It is true that personal characters and personal actions are sometimes ascribed to things inanimate, as an example of this would be, this is so scripture, the trees went forth to choose themselves a king and invited the vine. And the olive to wrangle with him. He refuses, and a bramble bids them put themselves under his power. The Red Sea is also presented as seen as sin. The flood lifts up their hands on high, and as also sits flat down. Yet we have no voice in any of these, only dumb signs that death. These all want persons to speak for them. Jotham speaks for the trees in the bramble. Habakkuk speaks the motions of the sea, and David the actions of the hillbilly. But the Holy Spirit wants none to speak for him. He can speak for him of himself and for himself. He spoke in Adam, giving names to all the creatures. He spoke to Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. He spoke to Peter. The Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down, and go with them, nothing God. The Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from the labors and works to the Father. The Holy Spirit not only speaks, but all who have ever spoken to any good purpose have been taught to speak by him. He brings it them to their minds, puts words in their mouth, and teaches them how to pronounce them, which things also we speak, not in the words of man, but the wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. The Spirit puts his word and made them about, and made them speak thus and thus, and the apostles spake as the Spirit gave them utterance. He not only speaks to the saints in them, but he teaches us in some measure to discern between those whom he teaches to speak and those who follow their own spirit and speak a vision out of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the world. And how evident this is to all who write or speak of divine things without the Spirit's teaching, but flagrant errors, self-contradictions, inconsistencies. Some of thoughts on life, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Lord. Again, now I beseech you, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, again, to receive the word with joy of the Holy Ghost. Grieve not the Spirit of God, by which you are sealed. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit, and he turned to be their enemy and fought against them. I cannot see how all the above mentioned things can with propriety be ascribed to anything but a person. Is violence his quality, an accent, a name, or a non-entity must be assured to that speed. I have often thought that if men were allowed to take the same liberties with the evidences of a purpose, the man will and testament, quality, and writing of the state, take with the word of God lawyers, prophets, biographers, chiefs, slaves, landholders, and nations, and all of them. What was the amazing about the amount of things that made it amazing about Lord Jesus? Of course, again, he was dirt poor, that he was powerfully gifted as a minister. He had a large congregation. He died. There were over 1,000 people in attendance at his funeral, which is really an incredible number. And we that he's been a good number of cars maybe in it, but normally you don't see lines of people going from the funeral home way down the street. Here with the 300, there being 1,000 people. That's what volume that's right there in the village. That's how high esteemed he was by a good number of people. So again, we have a 22 volume of the works of the William Hampton in the library. J.C. Philpott, who was a very gifted killer himself, and he was really my dad's favorite writer. And he spoke of William Hampton in a very high terms. He said that he did not defend out of his hand, but he still talked to him. Acknowledging superior life skills. But again, the contemplation on the God of Israel, it's a constant rope in his series of letters. To man be high esteemed. Again, William Hampton acknowledges that if anything that he had written here to this young Mr. Jenkins, if anything he had written should sound harsh, though mean and worthy or unbecoming the glorious subject, signify the same. And offer your thoughts freely. You will be kindly received by him who describes himself in undiscernible love. Here's Christ Jesus. And they're very side by side. And even just outside of London. Again, that's where my dad went to. But you want to see, see Philcox Green. He suffered a lot, it's just like an elaborate. That's why he wrote his book and called it Pride in the Furnace. He suffered a lot. You follow our Savior, you suffer a lot. We should be expecting suffering. As a matter of fact, we should be rather concerned if we're not suffering yet in our lives. Because if you're going on the right road, it's going to be a road of suffering. It's the road of the Lord Christ, and we are the other road side of the way of suffering. Whom the Lord loveth, he spreadeth. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and spreadeth every son who receiveth. If he is without chastisement, the law continues. Then are you bastards? That's one thing that it wasn't really satisfying at the time, but upon reflection, we were reflecting on my life and realizing that my dad was talking about strong disciplinarian. He had his belt hanging in his closet. It was a leather belt. It was a very thick leather belt. And he knew how to use it. He would say, I'm warning you, and all there's something wrong. He said, oh, this is very good. Or you and I are going to go around and around. I learned how to work that around him, and then he was going to grab my elbow with one hand and the belt with the other hand, and he was going to whip. And when he gave one spank by my head, he can't just be there and sit there, stand there. He was going to take off. But he got their elbow, and he got stronger, so there's no place I could go to but round and round. But thank God that he did do that. Now, in all fairness, because some of you may not have the same type of experience, but of a dear sister who, whose father had never spent for her. She said, my father never laid a hand on me. But when I did something wrong, he would just look at me in a disappointed, with a disappointed look. And that was enough to I'll first start crying. Because I knew that I had just disappointed. Well, she and me are spanking. I hope that all of you were that way. I just know it. I need a respect for God. And, I just knew that it is proofs of love. And also of no doubt how much I was prone to error.
Suddenly mine in the brown group.